Hello, hello, hello. Thank you guys for coming back for part two of my Vanderpump Rules season 11 premiere recap with the lovely Lindsay of Vanderpod Recaps. If you didn't listen to part one, go back in the feed, find part one. We talk about Vile Files, Rachel Goes Rogue, we talk about all of the things. So start there, come back here, or just start here, whatever. We are now going to get into the actual episode. You guys enjoy. All right.
Previously on...
Who the fuck knows with Emily Rose?
I think a lot of people don't want to watch that. Again, there's this whole entertainment aspect of reality TV and the messiness of it. But when you're really watching someone be not okay and the interview just continue and it gets worse and worse, like you're actively cringing the whole time.
Yeah.
That is not fun for any of us. So going from that to then the premiere, I was like, okay, this actually like, I need to chill for a little bit.
So let's just get right into it. So we start off, we have a new introduction. We have a new fun introduction into it where we go through, we start at something about her with Ariana and Katie. Then we move through the rest of the restaurants. We have Tom and Tom at Tom, I believe it wasn't Schwartz and Sandy's. Oh, because we found out Greg is not letting them film at Schwartz and Sandy's as far as we know.
Right.
Or if there was a filming there, it was very not encouraged. And then we get Sheena, Lala, and James, I think it was, at Sir.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we start off with a little interstitial of where everybody kind of is. We get Schwartz, I think, is diddling around at his stupid house. And we see a little cut of Allie and James. We see, I think, a moment of Katie doing something, and then we start with Katie going into Ariana's house. Now, before we get into this like play-by-play, I do want to just ask you, what were your expectations for this premiere? And would you say that they were met or they came up short? Like, what? How did you feel going into it? And how was that resolved?
Well, I'm going to be honest. We've seen most of this episode. I don't know what Bravo is doing lately. And maybe I am so into like the podcast trenches that I feel like I know so much. So I'm going to be honest, when people have been like sending me clips of like the show and stuff, I haven't been watching because I've actually wanted some surprise. I have a friend who watched Salt Lake City and she knows she's not on Instagram. She doesn't do any of that. She just watches the show for what it is. And I'm like, oh,
that's insane. Wonder
what, like, what is that like? Because I know every minute, every aspect of what's every happening. Detailed. No, it didn't happen like that. It happened like this.
Yep.
And so going into the season or this premiere, I was like, they already released the first 7 minutes, which I know they've done that for a while now, but then they also included even more clips, you know, after the 7 minutes have been out. So honestly, I felt like I had already watched the premiere going into it. I liked the premiere. I think I went from the Nick Vile podcast to that made my senses on a height to when I watched the premiere, it was more like relaxed. I do think there was more, I liked where they were kind of picking up from and what we were seeing. It was just very chill and the episode went by quickly for me. So that's how I could always tell I liked an episode because if it drags on, I'm like, this is rough.
Right.
And so watching it, I was like, okay, like I think this was a solid premiere. We're not going to get the craziness of season 10. And let's be real, season 10 was mostly crazy because as an audience, we were looking for Easter eggs.
Yes.
We were looking for something. Going into this season, it's not like I'm actively looking into other things that's going on in the background while they're talking. Right. So, but going into the premiere, my biggest thing is Bravo, you got to stop showing so much.
Yeah.
Let's just go into it with some clips that we haven't seen before. And I get it, again, being in the podcast world and how everything has came, like we know a lot about season 11.
Yeah.
But since that's all going on, then you would think Bravo wouldn't be showing as much as what they're showing.
Right. Exactly. But then you got to think about people like your friend who aren't involved in the discourse outside of the show at all. So she might see the 7 minute preview and that might be it. That might
that's
be everything
true.
That she sees. But I think it's also interesting, which I kind of didn't process until after I watched it the first time, was really putting yourself in the space of what was happening at the time of filming. Yes. So they were filming in, God, this was like in May, right?
No, this, so Scandival happened in March.
Right.
The reunion was filmed in May. They started filming this season mid in June.
Okay.
I believe. June. Yeah.
Right. So all of the new, and I remember thinking so many things were coming out that it was like, we're not going to have any show left to watch. But then now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, there's so much more shit that I remember coming out in the press that we didn't even get to in this. I think I was just kind of, I think because I'd watched the 7 minute and then I had watched the Scandival, A Season of Decades and Lies special that out on Peacock, which included exclusive clips that were outside of the 7 minute preview. So by the time that was all wrapped up, I was like, yeah, we've seen the episode. So I agree. I did enjoy the episode. If you guys listen to my instant reactions, I think I was a little critical.
I don't think you came across that way, to be honest.
Well,
yeah,
I
listened to that. I think you're harder on yourself because I think, honestly, from Reddit, a lot of people did not enjoy this episode. I think. And so I was like, oh man, am I the only one that I enjoyed it? It wasn't the greatest premiere ever. And like you and Elena talked about, like there was some good stuff, but it was kind of a slower pace and we've seen a lot of it before.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think it was a very good startup episode. And I think it was very smart for them to end with Sandoval entering, because the next week we're really going to get into the depth of it as far as how is Sandoval now into this group.
Right.
What is happening. So
right. So we start the episode, the episode really starts with Katie coming over to Ariana and Tom's house, and she walks in and there's all these flowers, and she makes a comment about how every time she walks in it looks like a florist shop, which I think is interesting because of course we as the viewers and consumers know, like, she's probably been having sent bouquets and gifts and all kinds of shit and Instagram promotional shit probably for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And Ariana's like, no, actually these are birthday flowers. And Katie and Ariana start talking. They talk about how Sandoval is off filming a show. Ariana seems to have a little disdain for that, which I guess she's entitled to. That's fine. And they talk about how they're going to be going thrifting for teacups for the, I don't care. I don't care about something about her. I think I said that already. So I don't care about teacups. I hate thrifting. So that was a really hard thing for me to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cute little moment, but you know, it happened.
Now, is this when, if not, I'm just going to place it here because I don't think it's like timeline necessary, but we find out that Ariana and Tom are communicating through an assistant, Anne, we didn't talk about Anne's podcast. Anne is the assistant of Tom, who Tom Schwartz said that an assistant had resigned, which would now in the timeline be like 3 weeks ago now. And Anne came out with a podcast with one of Nick Vial's former coworkers or assistants. And it's very interesting. There wasn't really a lot of tea in the first episode, but Anne is just a very pleasant person to listen to. And so keep an eye on that. It's called We Signed an NDA. And I believe it's unclear as to whether Anne still works for Tom or not. I think that's fair to say it's unclear. It sounds like she does, but then it kind of sounds like she doesn't. So we don't know.
Well, right, and so, the assistant that Schwartz was talking about and confirmed was not about her. It was another assistant. However, it's still very unclear whether she still works for him or not.
Right. So yeah, Tom Schwartz was talking about a different assistant, but we don't know about Anne. If I were Anne, it couldn't be me. So we get this scene where Ariana's talking about how they're navigating this house split. And part of it is that they use Anne as like a mediator, and they show this interaction where Ariana's like, the neighbor, can you tell Tom to turn the LED lights off because they're bothering the neighbors? To which Tom responds via Anne. He says it falls under freedom of speech. I'm like,
And that, my friends, is why I believe Rachel when she says the things that he says.
Yes. Literally. I'm also like, Ariana, you have to stop. You cannot live in the same house as this man. You just can't. You can't. Now, I learned some interesting information about the whole house split thing. It is my personal opinion that when they're talking about it in confessionals, Ariana refers to it as like a couple of months that she's staying in his house or whatever. But now it's been almost a year since the breakup and they're still living together, operating under what I think is a highly dysfunctional model. Whether or not, I guess it's not for them, they're fine with it. But to me, like as a friend or as the person involved, I think it's not ideal. I don't think it's ideal at all. And I learned or forgot and then relearned that when he started Schwartz and Sandy's, he put the house up as collateral.
Yes.
For the fucking restaurant.
Yes.
So, and then Ariana, the situation is truly so fucked up. And particularly when you get into like the house situation, it's easier to be like Ariana can feel truly however she wants and be as angry as she wants, because that situation is fucked. I don't know if you have more insight into it. I'm not a homeowner,
No, and I'm going to be honest, I don't understand any of that when it comes to numbers and the house. The timeline in my head, so Scandoval in March, reunion in May, filming in June, Ariana when Scandoval broke, I know she was doing, not too long after that, she was doing a Lifetime movie. So there's a period of time where she was at home a lot, and then he did Special Forces, he was at home. From my understanding, since at least September, if not earlier, she has not been actively living there because she was doing Dancing with the Stars. She was staying at an apartment because they have apartments for the contestants if they want them / need them. And then now she's been in New York a lot for Chicago, and she's been doing some book tour shows. So I don't think she has been actively living there for a few months. And in my brain, I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand, like, their house is huge. I'm sure they have been able to navigate how they've been living together when they were truly like still living together. That part of me, I'm like, okay, my brain can kind of compute that, because it would be really hard for me to live with someone like Sandoval and be there. Like, but I also give a lot of credit to Ariana, because long story short, like my mom and my stepdad reminds me a lot of Sandoval in ways, but when they got a divorce, she didn't want to deal with him because of how bad he was. And he wanted her truck. He had no right to this truck. This was her truck. It was just easier for her to give him the damn truck than to fight him on it. And I think a lot of people get in that situation, right? I don't want to deal with you. Just have it. I give a lot of credit to Ariana being like, no, like, this is my house too. So I'm going to do what I need to do. But as far as like selling the house or him keeping it and him saying, well, I offered her $3.1 million. I think a lot of us know, even though Tom tried to frame it, Ariana, that does not mean Ariana just walks away with all that money, right?
Right, right.
Plus the housing market, the way it is now, plus that loan, whatever he took on that house, which is not talked about like at all during this whole thing, that has to play a factor. So I know why he doesn't just want to sell it, because he's stubborn and he wants to be like, oh, look, I have this house. Right. And I also get Ariana, call it whatever, her being like, no, I don't want you to have this house. I don't want anyone to have, like, I just want to sell the damn thing. So I get that aspect. But as far as crunching the numbers and things like that, I truly do not understand, but it sounds messy. So I understand Ariana finally being like, we need a judge in this. Yeah. We need a judge to say, split this, do this, sign that, whatever. And that's another thing, just quickly, the Nick Vile podcast, another reason why Sandoval was not well.
Yeah.
When they were talking about the house, he was like, all right, Ariana, it's fine. You just take it. Just take it.
Yep.
Just take that's his voice was like going low and down.
Yeah, he was slurring.
He was slurring. And he, again, Ariana does not want the house. She's made that clear from the start.
Right.
So sorry, that was a long tangent about the house, but that is a huge component of this season. And It is one that my brain like goes off in different directions thinking about it.
It's too much. It's easier to look at it from like an emotional perspective. And
yes,
like my emotional perspective is one of y'all need to grow up and get out of the fucking house. And so I don't know who it means more to, but Ariana, if in my opinion, I feel like if you want to hold your friends and everyone in your life to a standard of, you know, not speaking to him or having anything to do with him, or else you jeopardize your friendship and you don't want to film with him and you want to start a new relationship with someone else, then all of those things to me say you got to be the one to go, because you are more intent on not having him be in your life in any aspect, but continuing to be on the show, then the best way to do that would be to leave the house.
I get that, but then it's also, she needs a really good, healthy offer. And from my understanding, like, I know she said he gave a shit offer. He told us the offer. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I understand any of that.
Right.
So I'm guessing she has a lawyer, it sounds like, that said, no, this that is a shit, shit offer.
Right.
So
that's true. It's totally
so
true.
That's the thing. Like, Ariana could come to the place where, like, you know what? Fuck it, Sandoval. Have the fucking house. I don't care. But then he also has to give a good offer. And if he's not willing to do that or come to the agreement, then they do just need to sell the damn house.
Yep. They just need to sell the house.
They just need to sell the house. I don't think Sandoval, I think he really looks at it as like, oh man, I'm going to go have to like live in it. He sees it as such a downgrade. And yep. I think that's really a lot of what this scandal has brought with Sandoval is a like detriment to his ego.
Yes.
And his reputation.
Yes.
He has built something and it got torn down to shreds. This facade that he has had on, he was like the guy in the group where mostly a lot of people liked him. They loved him and Tom and Aria's relationship. He did this. That all came crumbling down. The mask is more slipping off. He's now going to have to go live in an apartment. He sees that so beneath him that he cannot fathom that. So that is why he's being so stubborn with this. Well, his is more ego, and I think Ariana's is more emotional.
And I think he feels really entitled to the things that he has, not just the home, but to the new romances that he wants to pursue, to the show, because he's been on it technically longer. I think that he feels entitled to his success because he feels like he worked for it. He feels like he very much is like the kind of guy that will like, interesting, I should make this point right now, you know why, but that will like offer you money if you need it, but then like use it against you later, because not necessarily like beg you for it back because you don't want the money back, but you expect to be treated a certain way because you're that guy, right? You're that guy that will goes out of your way to be there for your friends and throws the parties and like stalks the pens and like all of this ridiculous shit that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It's entitlement because some people do live their lives in such a way to get something, to attain a goal. And once they get that goal, they feel like they deserve it more than anyone else because of whatever they've done, rather than seeing everything in their life as like a consequence of decisions that you made, not because you were like ordained by God to have it, you know?
Yep.
I need to pause really quick.
Oh, you're good.
So we move on from Katie and Ariana, and we cut into a little bit of a scene of Sheena on the couch, and she's talking to Brock about Ali, who was a close, close friend of Sandoval, who passed away, and how she felt compelled to reach out to him about it. And from what I remember, when I was telling Elena, several people reached out to him about it, like maybe not Ariana, but maybe even Ariana.
Yeah,
because of how this was his like legit best friend. And I mentioned on the last podcast that it was particularly upsetting because they had been really close. But when the scandal broke, Ali was very vocally not okay with how Sandoval was behaving.
Yes.
And I believe he took to Reddit about it.
He did.
And Sheena goes like, Ollie was a really great friend. He really meant a lot. And he was really into brisket, which was kind of a goofy thing to say out of context. But then I did some research and it turns out he actually was like legitimately into brisket and had like a whole Instagram like lifestyle page dedicated to like the curation of smoking meats. And that was actually a big hobby of his. So I was thinking like, I guess if I passed away and someone was like, she was really into oysters, like, or she was really into crab legs, that would actually be a really like kind of a funny fact, but it would be a legitimate, like legitimate fact about me that would be reasonable to say. So I give Sheena it was kind of a cutesy thing to say in the moment, but she's not wrong.
Yeah. Well, even Kristen said on her podcast, she felt kind of icky in her stomach, them just bringing up this friend's death because it is such a sensitive topic and they all knew him. But she said she gave Sheena a lot of credit because she felt Sheena did it in a very like tasteful and like a good way. And I agree.
Yeah. And it also is, I think it's important to mention that because it establishes that Sheena did attempt to like reach out. There was still some sort of care in her for Sandoval. And of course she got to like joke about the summer moon thing. And so that was kind of like a funny little like break in a really serious, really, really sad topic. So I agree with you. So then we move on to Lala, who is now living in an apartment. Her mom has moved in. Her brother Easton either moved in or lives very nearby. And they're all kind of taking care of Ocean together and moving like an orca or like whales or something.
Yeah.
From what I understand from jobs that I've had in the past, there's something called the word Kindezi is like the Congo art of babysitting. So it is the idea that the village raises the child and each person in the community is responsible for an aspect of raising the child rather than like your traditional two-parent household. So that's what I kind of thought about when I was watching Lala talk about it. I was thrilled to hear that she's not really dating because it would screw up the dynamic. Because I don't want to see her date. It makes me extremely uncomfortable to see this woman date. So I was thrilled to hear that. We got an interesting piece of information and a little fourth wall breaky, where she explains that the custody thing with Randall is god awful, and that he's trying to paint it as though it's not being resolved, essentially, because she's like, according to him, like hellbent on having Ocean on Vanderpump Rules. And that was part of what was a hang up about it. And Lala's like, I don't give a shit if she's on the show. Like, I don't care about that. I'm trying to like maintain custody, essentially. Did I get that mostly right?
No, you did. And this was a scene where I watched with Lala and I'm like, I fuck with this Lala.
Yes,
I like 100%. This Lala.
Yep.
I think Lala, just from an outside looking in, I think she seems like a great mom. I think that is so nice that she has like a village, quote unquote, to help take care of Ocean. I think one cannot deny there's skeeziness with Randall. Yeah. And I'm sure that custody battle is not fun. And Lala has even said she does not show Ocean as much because I think she came to a place of realizing that the space and the world that she is in, it is a lot to show your daughter.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between people showing their children and children being content.
Yeah.
I think, because I know some.
Bless her.
Yeah. So,
God bless her.
So it's a tricky situation, but I don't, I fully believe Lala when she said, I don't care if Ocean is on fucking Vanderpump Rules. And I'm so glad they kept that in, because I think a few seasons like past, they would have edited that out. They were so focused on this, not us knowing this was a reality show. Right. And so we had a lot of good little moments of fourth wall breaking in this episode that we haven't really seen before.
Right.
But yeah, I liked this whole scene with Lala. I was like, okay, this is the Lala that I fuck with.
Totally agree. I agree on all counts. And you know, it reminds me of something that I kind of forgot about because of Scandoval, but right before season 10 premiered, Lala went on Juicy Scoop and alluded to some pretty dark things about Randall, and mentioned that even like then that she had some reservations about having Ocean on television or as content because of some things that she was concerned Randall would have been maybe involved in. And I'm sorry, guys, you're going to really have to read between the lines there because it's not something I'm going to say out loud. She doesn't really say it out loud, but she alludes pretty strongly.
But if you read between the lines, I think people can pick up what you're saying.
Yeah. So for her to, again, to kind of drive that point home when she's talking about it in this episode and say, hey, I don't give a shit if the kid's on Vanderpump Rules. I want her to be safe. Like, that's so, that whole scene of Lala was the most relatable. That was a really, that was important to see. And I think that last year, I know Ryan Bailey had talked about how he wished he had seen essentially what we saw in this episode from Lala at that point, more of that. And Lala kind of countered with like, she couldn't at the time. Yeah. And so we kind of got this like really miserable side of her. And the dating and all of that stuff that I believe was just her having to come up with shit to put on camera to like keep up with everybody, because what was really going on in her life wasn't able to be shown. So I do hope that we're able to, I don't know what we'll be able to see of that in her life, but I certainly appreciated that scene.
Yeah.
So then we move on to a scene that I really want to breeze past. Schwartz meets up with James Kennedy, who is, I'm taking this from Lara and Carrie of the Sexy Unique podcast, but I feel comfortable taking it because it's what I said in my instant reactions. James is certainly feeling himself in this moment, and really playing up his goofy, overhyped attitude, because I think that he is praying to God that his job is not in jeopardy because everyone's focusing not on him. I don't buy it. I don't care about it. I really like, he said one thing that I kind of chuckled at. I don't even remember what it was, so it couldn't have been that fucking funny. I'm really skeeved out by James. And if you guys want to know more about that, you can listen to anything I've said about James in the past several podcasts about Vanderpump Rules. Or you can go to, I think it was Brunch with Bravo.
Yeah, they have a podcast called I Take Bravo Very Seriously. Okay. And they did an episode. I really want people to focus that whole scene. Why? Yeah, why was it there? James wearing, this sounds so little, but James wearing glasses, there's a reason. This whole clean cut, sober, now sober James again. And look, yeah, the man should be sober. But this scene was to present an image of James, because it has been highly alluded by other accounts that there is something being looked at when it comes to James Kennedy. And Rachel has alluded to stuff. Kristen has alluded to stuff. It shouldn't really be shocking that this behavior is happening, because we've seen a lot of it play on Vanderpump Rules, but we didn't see a physical aspect, allegedly, if there's anything. And I think there, people are trying to protect James right now, and I think he has been protected a lot. And I brought this up on my Instagram. He really and Ally, it seems like they're in a good place, and maybe things have been really well, and maybe James has made some changes. But can you truly change as a person if a lot of your behavior has been covered up and protected? I don't know. Because from my understanding, what has maybe been protected as far as what James has allegedly done, which we don't need to get into, because I do have a strong feeling things are going to come out soon.
As do I.
So we will cross that bridge when we get there. But I think when you have been accused of some things, and I know I'm sounding so vague, but again, I do think things are going to come out. And in that podcast, she talks about Jamie all over, Sheena's friend, did a Patreon, which I'm wondering if she got permission to play that from Jamie. Jamie, you can talk, like, she's very easy to talk to.
Yeah, Jamie's
on
really approachable.
She's really approachable. So I'm curious if she reached out to her to play that. I wouldn't be surprised if Jamie was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on that podcast that It Takes Bravo Seriously, she talks about something that Jamie said on her Patreon as far as what she found out on emo night. Mm-hmm. And then I was reading on Reddit, which take that with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. that someone said something was picked up on a hot mic on emo night that involved James that maybe triggered some people looking into James. So there's rumors of an investigation going on somewhere in the Bravo universe, whether it be James, Bravo, etc. You know what I mean? Like there's some kind of right. talks within that. All of this is alleged. We don't know if it's true or what is true. I do think something's going to come out eventually, but that was a big rant. But James wearing glasses, them talking about James being sober, I think is very curated, and there was a reason for it.
I totally agree. And I would like to add on a little bit to what you were saying. So if you guys don't know, I have a lot of interests, and one of those interests is the Girls Next Door franchise, the hype surrounding the show, the lore. I'm a big fan of Holly. I attempted to do a series a couple of years ago, and I have every piece of literature on Playboy and particularly the Girls Next Door era, all of their biographies, everything. Anyway, I was Crystal Hefner, who was the wife of Hugh Hefner at the time of his death, came out with a book 2 weeks ago. And in my research about the book, because I wanted to cover it on the podcast, there's really nothing to talk about, if I'm going to be totally honest. This site that I had not been super privy to, I'd heard of it before, called The Dirty came up. And there was, apparently The Dirty was like a blind item site for locals in Arizona. And then it kind of expanded into celebrity life. And it was run by this guy named Nick Ritchie. So I don't know. It's funny because then there was he had a podcast in like 2015 that mm-hmm. Lala and James went on. And I started to listen to that podcast, having never heard of it, for the first time because of the Crystal Hefner book. And on that podcast, I didn't finish it because if you guys don't know, James and Lala were at their absolute peak of insufferable in 2015. Okay. It's very, very embarrassing how they acted when they went on interviews or on TV. And so I kind of didn't process it, but Lala talks about she and James sleeping together. And Lala says that she doesn't count it because she like remembers them making out and then remembers waking up to like being like, what the fuck did we do last night type thing. And she saw a condom and and that James told her, you don't remember, we slept, you know, we fucked essentially. And we the bed, we were in the shower, and Lala makes a joke of it. And Nick Ritchie, who's apparently a really disgusting person, apparently he's not relevant right now. He said something like, you don't think that sounds like R word? And Lala's like, well, no, because I got in, you know, she's like, I remember getting into it. I just don't remember it happening. And I think that's really something to, that is Lala saying that. That is not me. You know, I'm not alleging anything. I'm not Nick Ritchie. I'm not baiting her into saying, and she has, as a woman, the complete right to deem something whatever the fuck she wants. Okay. She 100%. Does not have to, she does not have to claim that something is one thing when she does not believe it is. That is, she is allowed to do that. And I support her fully in doing that. But I'm just saying his decision making doesn't seem to be like the best, and he doesn't have a track record of being a really thoughtful, caring person towards women. And so all of that to say, don't let the cute face fool you. Don't let the glasses fool you. Don't let his weird fucking candle fool you. The only reason that he's having this scene with Tom Schwartz and Sandoval isn't, is because Sandoval is on special forces. Kennedy doesn't even need to damn be in the scene. That's the only reason he's there. And fuck exactly. him is how I feel.
Well, and in that same interview, Lala even said, how did we even get in the shower? My shower is so small. Like she.
Oh, right. It's like a
very much alluded to, like she had no recollection, like no memory of this happening.
Right.
So, and again, Lala has every right to say, like she very much said in the interview, like this wasn't the R word. However, that situation with other people who have maybe experienced something like that, if they have also said, this is, you know, the R word, what happened to me, they have every right to say that as well. It is, if I'm honest, it makes my stomach hurt. Just like that whole thing. I did not know about that interview until Brunch and Bravo on their podcast. I take Bravo very seriously. Mm-hmm. When she posted that interview, I was like, ooh, this makes my stomach hurt. That time period of Lala and James has been so scrubbed. Never forget the Watch What Happens Live episode that is scrubbed. Mm-hmm. You can find one clip maybe. It is scrubbed from the universe. That whole time period, I think it was like 2015 around then, something like that. Lala and James' whole being is so scrubbed from the internet.
Yep.
But I think little pieces are starting to come out.
There's like a really weird video that I actually tried to find a few weeks ago and couldn't again. I'm sure it's still floating around somewhere, but they're like at like a, God, is it like a Diddy party? I'm just making that up. I don't know.
Oh,
they're
not like, Diddy.
I think it was like, I don't know where the fuck they were. It wasn't a Diddy party. I made that up. They were at, it was just like, it was like a promotional, I think it was a liquor promotion party, right?
Okay.
So they were doing that, or they were in Vegas, or they were doing a Vanderpump, or there was something, and they were, Lala is not okay. She is Sandoval on Vile Files times 10, fucked up. And she's like, they're just very clearly on a bunch of drugs and very drunk, the two of them. Yeah. And they like kind of make out, kind of. And then she, it's just like, and then I find this video again. I don't know what the fuck they were doing or why they were there. And I think maybe I saw in the comments of where the video was posted or maybe read it, they were like, there's a lot of shit like this that used to be out there that you can't find anymore. And I think it's smart of, whether it was Lala or Randall or whoever that went back and got that shit down, I think it's good now, because it wouldn't be good to have out there on the internet. Not blaming her. I'm just saying someone who was fucked up could use it against her. Like, very bad stuff. They were both doing, they were not in a healthy situation, the two of them, and like physically healthy. So all of that to say, guys, I will be breezing past all James scenes because I don't care about him. And I think that his whole shtick is disgusting. And I don't care about Allie enough to talk about her. So that's how I feel. That's how I feel about that. And does Schwartz say anything in this scene that's important anyway? I think he just, goshes his way through it.
He be Schwartzen.
He surely does. So then we move on to Sheena and Ariana. They have a spa day, and they, Lindsay, take it from me for just a minute, because I kind of lost my train of thought.
They talk about Dan, and
Dan.
They talk a little bit about, Ariana talks about, this is the first time she says, like, I met Dan 11 or 10 days after Scandoval hit. She met him at a wedding, and they've been like talking ever since. Sheena then says, I don't know if Ariana has fully processed the trauma that she has had with Tom. And I thought, but then I thought Sheena was pretty funny. She had like a lot of one-liners. She was like, but, you know, as long as he's not sleeping with her best friend, he's kind of put on a pedestal right now. Right. So, and I think that is interesting for Sheena to bring up, because obviously I'm not in Ariana's life. And I think we see a lot of her good moments, but I have no doubt there are hard days and there is stuff that she's like, you know, had to process. And I can understand Sheena kind of looking from the outside in some points being like, I wonder if Ariana has fully processed everything that's happened with Scandoval. And I don't know if Ariana's really had the chance to, because she's just, you know, and I get that. Maybe that notion of being like on the go, doing all the things so you don't have to think about things. But I'm sure she has time where she has reflected or started to and has those rough days. And then this is where Sheena also talks about, she wasn't drinking during this period of time. She talked about in her podcast, she was on Zoloft for a little bit. So she wanted to be very clear-headed. She wasn't smoking weed. She wasn't drinking. She got diagnosed after having Summer Moon with OCD. And she talked about that. And I really admired that, because I think there's a lot of stigma and a lot of not understanding of OCD. Even when I went to grad school to be a therapist, it's not talked about a lot, unless you want to go unless you want to be a specialist in that area.
Right.
Otherwise you get a very general view of it. So Sheena making it, she says more in her podcast, not this episode, but how it's really those like intrusive thoughts and wanting to get, doing things to wanting to get away from them.
Yes.
I'm going to be open for a minute listening to that. I was like, holy moly, I can relate to this a lot. Yeah. And so I know people give a lot of shit to Sheena. Some of it I understand. I have always said this about her, though. I think the girl's got a good heart. Yeah. And I think it was very vulnerable for her to share this. And I'm actually happy that they left this part in, because again, I think a few seasons ago, I don't think they would have left this in for Sheena. So I enjoyed the scene with Ariana and Sheena. It wasn't like this crazy moment, but there was some really nice moments in the scene.
Absolutely. And I would like to just kind of contextualize all of this just a little bit more with Sheena and the OCD. So this is not something that she like revealed on at this time of filming for like the first time. So she had been diagnosed like months before. And I'm not talking to you, Lindsay. I'm talking to the people that are on Reddit that make me want to throw myself out a window. Because first of all, a lot of people misunderstand what OCD is, right? They think of your stereotype. It's about flipping a light so many times or needing to be clean. That is not the extent of OCD. A lot of it is coupled with anxiety and intrusive thoughts about things happening that you are not able to on your own keep these things from happening in your mind, and you obsess over them, and it makes it very difficult to function or to care, particularly when it comes to like postpartum depression. So it's postpartum OCD. It's like extreme anxiety about the well-being of her child and her life.
Yep.
And you have to understand, this is not just about Sheena just making it about herself, which is what they love to call her flip-flopper. They love so she makes things about herself. What Sheena was experiencing at this point was perhaps an extreme concern about consequences of her actions when it came to whatever the fuck happened with Raquel that night. Okay.
Yeah.
After Watch What Happens Live. If it was determined in a court of law that Sheena did punch Raquel in the face, if it was determined that in a court of law, I'm not saying that one way or the other.
Right.
Allegedly. Then that would be very, very hurtful to Sheena's family. It could put Summer at risk, because there would be reason, perhaps, this is what I'm assuming she's thinking. I don't know this from a law standpoint. I'm not a lawyer. But I can see where maybe she would be concerned because her husband has a history of domestic violence that we've talked about on the show that Lala felt was necessary to expose and exploit over and over again a couple of seasons ago. So now that's out there in the public eye. And now if something were to come out that Sheena did hit Raquel, even if it wasn't true, it could be very, very, very bad for the well-being of her family. And she had already been dealing with this OCD diagnosis that came out before Scandoval. So again, let's just look into things a little bit more, guys. Let's just like take some nuance about some of the shit that these people are going through. I'm even going to give Lala a little bit of slack here, and I can't stand the woman. So like, we have to really look like with Ariana in the house, like emotionally, it's like, girl, get the fuck out. Logistically, it may not make sense. So it's important to keep that in mind. Now, on from Sheena about Dan, Ariana's boyfriend. I will say this, and I said this in my instant reaction. This is how I feel. I'm not going to speak on Ariana anymore, okay? Because apparently, if you even remotely criticize her train of thought, it is, I am trying to bring her down, and I don't want to bring her down. Dan, though, I don't know what he's thinking, being pursuing a relationship with someone who just had a traumatic event. And then, like, I just, if it were me, I wouldn't do that if I were Dan. Okay. I can care about somebody, but I think that I would want to put up like healthy boundaries, and those being like, I wouldn't want to be associated with the show. This is my personal opinion, because the show has a lot to do with the traumatic event that Ariana experienced. So I would want certainly to be supportive of her, but I would not entertain a romantic relationship with that person. And so I don't think that Dan is an opportunist. I don't think necessarily that he's like with her for fame. I don't think any of that. But I question his level of codependency. If you're like going to romantically pursue someone in that headspace. And I just think that like, if he was just a friend, that would be tight. But do you see what I'm getting at? I don't think that she needs to be dating anybody. In my personal opinion, it's not for me to say. This is my podcast, so I can say, you know, my opinion. That's my opinion. Because I think that she has a lot of healing to do. And I don't think that you can have a healthy relationship with someone brand new if you don't come into it at a certain level of healing, which she objectively did not have time to do. So that's what I feel in my heart. That's not to say that couples that go through shit that are already established, you know, have to break up if something traumatic happens. No, you can work through that. But the thing with Sandoval didn't have shit to do with Dan, and Dan wasn't in the picture. So why would Dan need to be a part of that process? It's just, I'm just saying, I think she's setting herself up for failure with that. That's my opinion. Thank you very much. Good night.
No, I think it's okay for us to, again, with reality shows, the whole purpose, and Lala said this before, they want us to think or talk about these things. If we're not talking about it, then they don't have a show. So us looking at Ariana and Dan's relationship, obviously we're not Ariana. I hope she's happy. I hope she's doing well. Like, I think most people want that for her. When I look at that, I'd be like, I might do that differently. But that's not to take, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, again, she can do whatever she wants, but I would maybe want to do this differently. Or if I was one of Ariana's friends right now, and they all have said like great things about Dan, but me as a person, I would be like looking at him and then like looking the other way too, like, okay, what else? You know what I mean? What's kind of going on here? Even with Lala, kind of like, what are your intentions here?
Right.
Or what is going on here? So I hope that she is happy in this moment and that things are well, but it does, kind of going back to Sheena's statement, has she really been able to process everything that has been going on? And is that carrying over into this new relationship that she has with Dan? I think it's okay for us to kind of wonder that as an audience. But again, also in real life, like Ariana, I mean, she can do whatever she wants. Live your life. But I do have a little, like, I'm going to just have a note on this relationship. Yeah. And that is nice. Like, he's not, from my understanding, a huge part of this season, right? We're not going to see a lot of him. I think there is a point where he does come to LA, and I think we will see that. But it is interesting because I feel like for me, I would be like, I don't want to have any part of this show. And I think someone has said before, like Ariana has like asked him or to like, you know, to film a couple of things or whatever. But for me, I'd be like, this show seems toxic as fuck. Toxic. I don't want a part of this. And Ariana's even said this show is toxic as fuck, you know, like for this group of people. And so it is an interesting thing that I'm just kind of keeping, you know, an eye on, as far as like, well, that's not how I would have done things, but I guess it is what it is. But I think you also said this in your instant reaction. I think Dan, he is a bartender and a trainer, right? So
both of those are the worst guys you'll ever meet in your life. Okay.
Yeah. When I hear that, God. I'm like, I'm going to keep note of that as well.
Going to keep an eye on that. I just think that it's like insane. Like, the fandom again. They want to like dictate what people think and say about Ariana, and Ariana is on the show.
Right.
And there's an economy around the show. So in my opinion, think Ariana, you don't, and objectively, no, I don't think she's had enough time to process, because she started banging the guy 10 days after this whole thing broke. And that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with like having a casual sexual relationship, but we see clips from the trailer of her saying like, you should move out here. Like, that's objectively more than a casual sexual relationship, right? I don't think anyone would think that 10 days is enough time to process. I'm not just talking about the relationship, because then I'm like, because I've always kind of thought she was emotionally checked out of the relationship for a while, and that's why she and Tom weren't super getting along. But then, like, so that would make sense how she was able to like move on a little quicker, like totally understand. But then it's like, okay, but then you're like holding your friends like hostage from like speaking to him, and you're like, it's just like, it's a little messy. And for me personally, I wouldn't be able to do it. And if I was Dan, I don't understand, like, I would not be comfortable with my new boyfriend or girlfriend living with a maniac who thinks that LED lights are an expression of free speech. Like, that to me would be like, you can't live with this guy, because he's a danger to himself and society. Okay. So I just, that piece, obviously I'm a little defensive, and I want to say it's not against Lindsay. Once again, it's against things that I was reading online that seemed unreasonable, because I think it's unreasonable not to sideways look at that relationship and be like, girl, you need to be whole, not just from the relationship, but from the crazy shit that your ex is putting you through right now in this moment, from the extreme amount of fame and support that you got on a national level, which was, it came very, very quickly. It was like, you went from like a certain level, you went from like a, you know, mid-tier podcaster to a fucking YouTube star, viral hits on ABC News type shit overnight. I'm just using that as like an example. If I were to, tomorrow, if I were to like become YouTube famous, like, that would be, there's studies that prove that that kind of rapid change in attention and fame is, it jolts you, and it can, you have to process that. I just don't think that being in a relationship is the way to do that, in my opinion. I think it's a good idea to be single for a while and not be attached to someone in such a way that you're like wanting them to move across the country for you. That's my opinion. I'm not judging her. I'm definitely just judging how I don't think that she should be in this relationship. That's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Well, and we, this is coming from someone who, like, I'm a very big Ariana stan. I literally just met her. I'm a huge like fan of hers, but it is a weird thing, especially on Reddit. There's a difference between someone being like, no, like, this goes with Sheena too. Fuck this person. They are this, this, and this. How are they, you know, clearly she clearly never loved Sandoval, because she already is with this Dan guy. That's not what you said. That, like, we're, that is not what you're saying. I know. Like, there's this extreme, and then this, what we're talking about, we're like, this is kind of, this feels funky, right? This is something that feels funky to me, but it's not that we're trash talking. Like, again, like you said, this whole, there is this weird period of time where any kind of, if someone takes it as a critique or looking a certain way, then you aren't team Ariana or whatever. It's like, no, I'm now watching this show, and I'm watching all of them, and they have all done things before where I'm like, what the fuck? When I first watched Vanderpump Rules and Ariana came on, I was like, oh, I like this girl. When I rewatched it, I was like, oh, wow, the way she treated Kristen was kind of funky, but also the way Kristen treated her was also not the best. So, like, I watched it with a different lens. So that's how, like, these shows are. Like, we're allowed to talk about these things and see things differently, but it's not in the extreme way of what you said, like, no, fuck this bitch. She didn't even care. And I've seen some accounts that do that. And I'm like, whoa. Or like Sheena only ever cares about herself. That's it. Case closed.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. So like, that's why I like having like these conversation with you, because we can look at like fuller pictures. And yeah, I mean, say what you want, but I have a little question mark over her in Dan's relationship, but that doesn't mean I don't want her to be happy, but no. I got questions.
I actually like am like trying to check myself into like not being too parasocial about wanting her to be happy. Cause I'm like, the true path to happiness is don't date this guy right now. Just put him, you know, put him on the side, use him as a good support system, use him as a friend. I don't mean use in a bad way, but just like,
no, I know.
Have him as that person in your life. But romantically involving yourself with someone right now is, it's just not feasible. She's also extremely busy. Like, and this is, again, I don't want to get too parasocial with it. I just feel like I do want her to be happy. And I just think she should take some time to be single, because that's what I think about everyone in my, my real life and on TV.
Yep. And that's okay.
All right, moving on. We are 19 minutes into the premiere and we are 3 hours into this podcast. Isn't that something?
You know.
Okay, so now we get an Allie and James scene, which I, as I said, we'll be skipping straight through. I don't care about either of them. Then we get a scene with Dan. We'll skip through that because I just gave all the opinions anyone could ever want from Dan. All right, so now we have everyone is going to Tom. What were they celebrating again? What was the big... Oh, James was DJing?
Yeah, I think that was it, right? He was just DJing?
James was DJing. Okay. Shut the city down.
Shocker.
James Kennedy isn't down. So they all get ready and wear the world's most astonishing outfits to go to TomTom to see DJ James Kennedy. But I do think, all jokes aside, that this was the... Honestly... a really tender, really well, I don't know if produce is the right word. The story was told really well.
Yep.
And really put me in the moment for Ariana really effectively, because they hit on all these moments that I think between she and Tom that I think have gotten lost over the last several years, and certainly over the last year, that were... why did we like Tom? Why was it such a shock that Tom would do this of all people, when he is kind of a douche and we do see him acting like a loser half the time? Well, this is why. And they pulled some of the most genuine moments from Ariana's relationship with him, the opening of TomTom with her and Katie walking arm in arm. And I love the side by side of them going in again. I thought it was beautiful. And then they sit down and I felt Ariana's anxiety in that moment. That was her first time back at this restaurant since this, her life became a very different life than the one that she was living previous. And this thing that she, in a way, had built with her partner that meant something to her, that she was proud of having sharing that with him, now is, she's cut off from that. She's not associated with this shit anymore. And that was meaningful to her. And now she's in this place and Schwartz is running around like a maniac and you know, all these people are there and it's the same people, but it's not the same circumstance. And how jolting and heartbreaking that can be. Like, I've been there. I've been in that situation, not with a restaurant, but with a different form of a different industry of entertainment, that I've been back in the place where this used to be the thing for me and so-and-so. And now it doesn't mean that anymore. And I'm supposed to carry on like it's normal, but it's a complete, it's like being in a foreign country at this point. That was really, really effective to me.
Yeah. And what really hit me, that montage of her and Tom's relationship, it reminded us that this relationship really started with a friendship. I really think they were good friends before. And what part really hit me was when Ariana was talking about her depression and him saying, like, I like everything about you. And when she said, like, I just want to go home. Can we go home? And he said, yes. That, and this might sound weird, that really hit me, because what we saw in season 10 was a complete, now I think that conversation a huge part of the relationship, mm-hmm. he would have said no in that moment in season 10, because that was a big thing, was she wanted him home. She wanted to spend more time with him. She would go out, but she didn't want to stay out until the wee hours of the night.
Yep.
And he was doing more, I think, like selfish things. And she was trying to communicate. I think, at least from what we see on the show, I want you home. I want to spend time with you at home. So just seeing that clip of him being like, yeah, let's get out of here. I was like, oh, wow. So like he did have moments where he was like that. And it's hard because then I look at how he is now in season 10 and I forgot that person was in there. And so that scene, the editors, they did a really good job. I think it is kind of messy. I'm sure I heard at the premiere Sandoval during that part, like went left. He didn't leave the party, but he left and like went in a different room
or something.
Yeah. And so I'm sure that was hard for Ariana and Sandoval to watch right now. Cause I think there is a lot, especially on his side, a lot of anger.
Yeah.
But as an audience viewer, I thought this whole scene was very, very well done, just like you said. And it hit my heartstrings a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I almost cried. And you summed it up perfectly. I think that's interesting about him at the premiere. I bet that was really hard to watch. And then you think about like what Ariana was experiencing.
Yeah.
In her relationship at that time and like what she was asking of Tom last year and what she was used to, and that like he changed and something happened within him. Midlife crisis.
Yeah.
And so I think, that was really effective. So we get a little bit of that. Then we get, I mentioned this a lot in my instant reactions. I do want to say they had a lot of slow motion moments and it was effective in that one flashback, but the rest of it was completely unnecessary. I was like, guys, let's get some content. I don't need to see flashback. I don't need to see slow motion. So then we get Lala, who kind of like, we talked about this a lot at the beginning, but you know, it's kind of like she looks around and then she's like, yeah, something's got to work here. Something's got to change here. So she gets up, she talks to Lisa, she pulls Vanderpump aside and starts to talk to Vanderpump about how she feels. She's starting to realize maybe she went a little hard on Raquel, and how after she watched the edited part of the reunion was it the reunion or finale? It was the reunion. Yeah. After the reunion aired and they added in the piece of Raquel talking about how, you know, if she did something to fuck with Tom, if Tom decided based on her actions that he was just over it, then she was going to have absolutely the fuck no one. And that really hit home with Lala. And she was like, I've been there. I know what that feels like. So let me roll into the back alley, into the loading dock, and send her a VM on Instagram, like, Lala, please. But part of what comes out in this moment in the confessional, which again was a much more effective thing for her to be doing than the loading dock, but she was saying, and it was kind of wild to watch. She was like, and you know, when you think about it, all the things that she called me and all the things that the fans were saying about me, that I was a mistress and a homewrecker, it's all kind of true. And I, in the moment, I said, no shit, bitch. But after reflecting and having a little bit more empathy, because it's how people evolve, I thought, I'm glad Lala had that moment and I didn't have to be mean about it, because I don't care. Honestly, I've saw that some people are like, well, she only even said that because she knows it's necessary for her to acknowledge it, for people to stop hating her. But even so, even if that's your intention behind having that moment or saying that out loud, I think it's growth, because truly in every other circumstance where it would have been appropriate for her to acknowledge that, she has refused. And I don't know. How did that feel to you? What did you think about that?
Well, again, that was another like damn Lala moment when she was in her interview and she said, and if you line it all up, it's all true. Like the emotions on her face seemed really real. And I don't think Lala is that great of an actress. Yeah. But like, you know, like,
no, I think it was real. No,
yeah, it was. And so she, when she said that, I was like, okay, there is a part of me that I think she has realized there are some parts with Rachel that she can relate to. Yeah. I do think, again, a main factor was Lala could be the bridge to maybe try to get Rachel back on the show. Like, that is right. still very much in my mind. Right. And so, but Lala in her confessional, it's interesting. I was talking to Rob from Vanderpump Robs, and he was Schulte. Saying, you can almost see sometimes in like Lala's, in her lives, it's almost like a switch will happen where she turns yeah. into reality mode.
Yes.
And that yes. is what happened. There was something, this was Amazon Live a while ago, where something brought up something that Rachel said or did, and there was a switch.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is reality, Lala. But in these moments, I'm like, okay, this seems like true, authentic. This is how she feels. I can understand her relating to Rachel in those, like that moment where Rachel's like, I felt like I had no one. Yeah. And if I betray him, and going back to her podcast, how did she say Sandoval reacted to that? He was pissed. And yep. he said, if you ever do that again, like yep. I'm done. And like yep. went after her for that. And which yep. made me feel so like he said to her, according to her, if you say you're going to do something, then you do it. So he was saying like, you said yep. you were going to stick with this story. So you do that. So use changing it like that. That's a whole other, I can't go on that tangent about that, but that makes my stomach hurt. And so yeah, knowing too. That, I'm sure, I wonder, you know, Randall was maybe telling like Lala things. I think Lala, because even in the moment, she knew more. I think she knew more about Randall's marriage now that she's kind of acting like she didn't know anything, right? But right. during that time period, she was tweeting things at Amber. And I know her and Amber are at a good place now. But yeah. let's not forget like some of the stuff Lala was saying. Yeah, during she's this horrible. Time.
She was yeah. awful to that woman.
And yeah. so, but also, I'm sure, I don't know what Randall was telling her at that point. And I think maybe Lala had some rose colored glasses on and maybe was taking everything he said. There was, you know, nothing but truth with it. So I can right. understand Lala doing some reflection. However, if it really, really, like her intent was to really reach out and get to a place with Rachel of like, I get it, girl. I think she would have did that before the cameras, before the season premiere. But once again, the girl did it on camera. I think she looked around and said, we are all, it almost seems like the girls had a pact this season that like we're yes. not going to fight.
Yeah.
I know Lala and Katie, I think eventually kind of get into it, but I don't know the way that they've been talking about each other outside the show. It almost seems like they went into this season like, we're not going to do it this season. Yeah. We're going to have each other's back. We're not going to turn everything into this big moment yeah. because I think seasons past when Lala was like, hey, I did this, it would have caused a huge fight.
Yeah.
But everyone remained so calm. So yep. then I think Lala was like, oh shit, yep. we got to step it up this yep. season.
Yep. And production's we really have like, to...
we can't have this, you guys. We no. can't have this kumbaya moments.
Nope. I totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah. So, okay. So once Lala sends, and again, we already talked about it. Once she sends the weird message at the loading dock to Rachel and determines that she sees it, we cut to Schwartz in his dwelling dealing with the plants, and I guess he has beetles now, which is really weird, and the dogs are there, and Katie comes over to do the dog exchange, which seems to still be their arrangement, which is fine, and he says, Katie, do you want to hang out for a bit? And Katie goes, sure. And I'm kind of like, y'all are ridiculous. I'm wondering if, okay, because so Ariana is refusing to film with Schwartz. We don't have any reason to believe that Lala and Sheena are refusing. I guess maybe I can see why Sheena would be refusing to film with him, but we haven't really gotten that confirmed.
Right.
And then Lala hasn't had a scene with him. So I wonder why we have to keep, I hate the situation for them, even though they seem to be handling it pretty well. With the dogs, I hate that for them. So yeah. I hate that Katie has to come over and film with this guy when he's so clearly so irritating.
I know when he was like, do you want to stay for a bit? And she was just like, I guess, like, you could tell she probably was like, I probably actually have to film with this guy because no one else is really obligated. Wants to.
Yeah.
No one really wants to talk to him. So let me talk to him about his Beatles and how he's like, and what really irritates me is this is the thing about Schwartz when he was like, maybe you can talk to Ariana. And Katie's like, no, like, I'm not going to do that. You can talk to her. Well, she blocked me. Okay. Then I don't know how to help you. And he was like, oh, I love Ariana. No, you don't. Like, no. Like, his whole, like, switch of, like, he's been on that, like, tour lately of, like, I love Ariana. And I, like, so when he says stuff like that, I think he tries to make the audience forget of his actions. And as Rachel has came out and said, and let's be clear, I know people, again, like to say that Rachel's lying about everything. When she said the whole Schwartz thing, all the cast members so far have been like, yeah, no shit, that's true. But yeah. She just, like, confirmed it.
Yeah.
So him saying this whole, I just, you know, I love Ariana, I miss that friendship. You cannot expect Ariana to think that because you helped in this whole thing. Yep. And Ariana has even said, like, other people have, like, come to her and said, like, hey, I knew about it. This is all that I know. I'm really sorry. And Ariana's been like, okay, but Schwartz, we saw you on season 10 try to help play this narrative of painting Ariana in this light that Sandoval wanted.
Yeah.
So I cringe every time and he did it on the Vile podcast, just when he is saying, I love Ariana. I wish her the best. I love to see her thriving. I don't believe that. I don't, no. I have no doubt him and Sandoval, when they're at Schwartz and Sandy's, they get trashed and they shit talk Katie and Ariana. And look, they can do that.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's totally but, their right.
Yeah, that is their
freedom
their
of
right.
speech, they, actually.
There you go, Sandoval. That's actually freedom of speech. But then when cameras are on and you're like, I love Ariana, she's thriving, man. Like, oh my gosh, I love to see it. No, you don't. You and Sandoval are hating right now that the women are doing well, because a lot of this show on Vanderpump is the men doing these horrible things, but somehow the women always seem to, like, look worse.
Yeah.
And so they're hating that this narrative is really flipping. So sorry, that just, when he was talking with Katie and just said that, I was like, I can't deal with this Schwartz, like, I'm a good guy kind of thing.
This is the thing. I don't think that Schwartz and Ariana were, like, any closer than Sandoval and Katie. Like, yeah. I think that they had a relationship of convenience. You end up being, you know, you end up being cool with them. You like them for their quirks, even if they drive you absolutely fucking crazy, but you wouldn't necessarily elect to spend time with them. Like, I would say, I think the only person that had a genuine relationship, like, genuine friendship with one of the guys is, I think that Sheena had a genuine friendship with,
I agree,
with Sandoval.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of them and any other, I don't think any of the women had friendships with the guys that were close outside of their own relationships, that including,
right,
like Jax and James. Like, I don't think, or I guess technically Lala is very close with James, but they fucked. So,
right.
And I guess kind of dated. But so I think that, like, I think that Schwartz is trying, he just should say what he feels, which is, Ariana's cool, but I like Sandoval more. Because that's the truth.
Yes, that is
Ariana's
the truth.
Cool, but I like Sandoval more. And I wish he would be fully honest and stop trying to pander to whatever the fuck he thinks we want. Because I think what he really thinks is, I didn't like the way that Ariana talked to Sandoval. And I think that Sandoval was going through a hard time and Ariana was not empathetic to him. And I would have been pissed if it was me in that situation. And so I took Sandoval's side because I think if Katie had been doing this to me, I would have been fucking someone else too. Now,
boom.
Is that a rational, is that like a good guy thing? No, it's a really trashy guy thing. But that's the truth. That's how he feels. And again, I'm sure he also felt like Ariana was like a nagging girlfriend. And I'm sure that Ariana was, because the way that it looks like Sandoval was carrying himself, particularly after he got in that goofy ass band, it was probably extremely annoying. It was probably extremely annoying. So I don't think that they, I don't think that they were like sunshine and roses by the time of the scandal.
Excuse me.
It sounds like there had been a couple of like kind of explosive like breakups, but that doesn't invalidate like Ariana's commitment to the relationship. And it doesn't excuse Sandoval getting into essentially a new relationship while he was still in one with Ariana. Like,
yes,
people, I think that there is, this is me personally, genuinely, like, I think there's a difference between like you drunkenly hook up with someone one night stand shit when you're in a relationship, and like he entered into a full on, he started a new life with Raquel in his head and into, in Raquel's opinion, like,
yeah,
he was like ready to like pursue this whole, he built a totally different life behind Ariana's back. Like, that's how men that do that are the kind of men that end up having kids on folks. Like, you have babies on your, on your wife. Like, that's fucked to me. So all of that to say, I don't think that their relationship was perfect. And I think Schwartz knew that. Just fucking say that then and move on. I don't, I'm not going to think that your Beatle thing is any cuter just because.
No.
Like, and I what think, the fuck?
And I think he agrees more with Sandoval's side. And Schwartz likes to do this thing. He does it. He did it with Katie too. He said, he'll go up to Ariana and he'll say hi. And she'll just like look at him and smile. My sister would do the exact same thing, like with people she doesn't fuck with. That's her reaction to things. Yeah. It's still a very like kind thing to do. She like just looked at him. She's not fighting with him. Me, I don't like confrontation. So I would just be like, oh, hi, how are you? But that should not be expected of Ariana to do. But Tom Schwartz, I feel like, does that shit. So then it makes the other person look bad because he's just saying hi. He's being goofy Schwartz. And then with Katie, he would say like things to her, she would react to it, and then he'd be like, Bubba, why are you so upset? I'm not saying that Katie never said like horrible shit to him too, but I'm just saying like there are a lot of moments where he would say something, she would react, and he'd be like, oh, come on, Bubba, you know I love you. And then we'd be like, oh, that's just Schwartz, he doesn't mean any harm. When, like you said, I think he saw Tom and Aria's situation, their relationship. I think there was definitely some things that were happening that they were struggling with. And he took Sandoval's side completely, but he's never going to say that. He's still going to be like, I love everyone. I just want us all to like get along. I don't buy it. That's just,
I don't buy it either, but I don't understand, like, I don't understand what motivates someone to be like that. I just, like,
I don't either.
I don't, he's already under a lot of scrutiny for the Katie thing. So why even give a shit about if people don't like you for your take on Ariana and Sandoval? Or like, what are you, what is your stakes? What are you protecting by? You know what I'm saying? I just like, and I have a friend, I said this at the beginning of last year when season 10, that I have a friend who very much reminds me of Schwartz and is the significant other of one of my very closest friends. And like, doesn't like do confrontation, kind of like is a little pot stirry for no reason, but like, you know, at the end of the day feels really hurt if people, you know, aren't into his bullshit antics at times. And it doesn't make him like evil. It doesn't make him like a bad person, but it's a very obnoxious thing to do. And I think Tom just needs to, Tom Schwartz needs to step into his villain era, because honestly, Tom's smarter than Sandoval. Like, Schwartz is way smarter than Sandoval and way more clever and has a much higher effective range of being manipulative. Like, kind of, I don't want to agree with Nick Viall, but like, I mean, Tom Sandoval's manipulation will probably hit a cap, whereas I think that Schwartz could probably be a lot more so. And I think he should just be a villain, because the dopey ass, goofy, I speak for Sandoval, I have Beatles bullshit, I keep hounding on that because I can't, just can't believe that he had that, he did that.
I know.
Like, it is so over. I'm so over it.
Yep.
But he's really hot in person, by the way, and really sweet and kind in person to strangers. That's nice.
So here's the thing, Schwartz, what I always hear, but he's a really kind person, he's really nice, I think he think he means well, or like Sheena, even Katie will say like you know, he really is a good person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, shit, maybe. And I'm not even saying, like, even with Sandoval, I think, I like to think with everyone, they have little goodness in them, even if their whole person themselves, I'm like, I don't know about you.
Right.
But Schwartz is just one. Yeah, it's either lean into this whole villain aspect. I feel this with Sandoval too, because now that his whole reputation is different now, it's almost like he wants to lean into full villain, but the people around him don't let him. So Schwartz is his mouthpiece, right? Oh, right. He's trying to say this, when really, I think Sandoval really means what he's saying.
Right.
Like, when he says, I'm not going to cheat that way, he means he'll probably cheat again,
he's
because
cheat.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
But he's going to be, you know, he'll do it a little differently.
Yeah.
But people speak for him. So it's either like, go full villain, or I guess, but also this whole doofiness, I guess, is working for him somehow, because people still, I think for the most part, still, they like Schwartz over Sandoval, but
yeah,
they're just like, he's just a doofy guy. That's all
yeah.
you can say. But I don't fuck with him.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, totally. Was there anything else in that scene that was noteworthy? They kind of just...
Yeah, not that I can think of.
All right. So then we move on, and the final scene of the show is this. Once again, these women, very powerful together, very ill-informed on what to wear in public to make me take them very seriously. It's just, they're always, they come to the, like, I have it pulled up on my screen. Like, what they're wearing is so fucking goofy. Sheena is in poodle hair mode. She's wearing like, She's literally wearing like a Bratz doll outfit. You have Katie in an oversized denim vest, but it's not like, it's a vest though. And it has like cap sleeves. You have Lala in her backwards cap, like 2005 Etnies vibes. And then who knows what Ariana's wearing, a big ass sweater with skulls on it. I'm sorry to keep harping on this. And if you know me, you know that I can't dress for shit. So, but I think it's mostly because I don't have money, but like, if I have money, I would be dressing really well. And I just want everyone to be on the lookout. When I become rich one day, I'm going to be
yes.
very well dressed, because this is appalling. Is it astonishing? They really wear the most ridiculous things in the world. And they're so gorgeous. Like, these are four of the most prettiest women on television, and they wear goofy shit. They wear Polly Pocket rubber outfits for no reason. So weird.
It's giving Amazon Live, which
it's giving Amazon Live. Anyway. Okay. So they all sit down for like a power dinner or whatever. And they're like, you know, kikiing, having a good time. And I'm not totally sure exactly what sparks the conversation, where Lala kind of confronts Ariana. Do you have notes on what started this conversation?
Oh, yeah, so this was a really interesting point. Ariana was talking. Oh, I don't know exactly what led to this, but Ariana was saying she's had to unlearn things with Tom, which I thought was a really interesting
yes.
point, because she really wanted to get closer with Katie, and he would say things like, well, be careful,
which I 100% believe.
Agreed. Yeah, I believe. And I when I heard her say that, I was like, oh man, here's that. I really want to know the point where like their relationship went from like friendship to this really seemed like a solid like relationship, to then when I think Sandoval tried to start controlling and manipulating things more. Because right. I feel like I've had relationships in my life where there's been like a switch. Like they put on this facade, and then their true self comes out. And so Sandoval's
yes.
being like, well, be careful. Well, what is that? What the fuck does that mean? Like, so I'm sure Ariana was like, well, shit. Okay. So she's had to unlearn things. And Lala was like, do you think you've done that with me? I still feel like you have your guard up with me, and that you don't actually like me. You tolerate me. And then Lala gets emotional. So I was like, oh, wow. I really believe that Lala thinks that. I think she thinks a lot of people tolerate her and she's not sure if they actually like her. And Ariana was like, you could tell she was like, oh my gosh, like, no, like, I like you.
Yeah.
And Lala said, like, Ariana's a hard one to crack. And Stassi has said that before too, like those exact words.
Yep.
And so again, in her confessional, I felt like, oh wow, we're getting like true what Lala is feeling. So that is what like started the conversation. And then they like hugged it out. And then yeah. Lala was like, switch. I think this would be a good moment for me to tell you
yep.
that I reached out to Rachel.
And like, okay, so one thing that is entertaining about this moment, Katie is giving facial expressions that are
the face
hysterical. She is like literally popcorn in hand, like
yep.
can't wait to see what happens. Cause Katie is never gonna be like, she's not Lala. She does not like tune in to when she's gonna be reality television gold. She's just yep. struck gold, okay, a couple yes. of times. And as we know, Sheena is good as gold. So she's always on. So I assume watching this from Katie's perspective, and Katie, who has really never been, she's certainly never been around, she hasn't been cool with Sheena in a long time. So I don't think we've really seen Katie react or be around all three of them at the same time, really yeah. at all, right?
No.
When she's on good terms with all three of them at the same time. So that was really funny to me. And again, I'm not a Katie fan, but she is so far this episode, I'm okay with her. And I yeah. want to, before I go on, just really quickly, because I want to harken back to something you said about the four of them going into this, realizing that they can't fight. It is truly beneficial for all of them to remain a united front, because when the Katie v. Sheena v. Lala v. Ariana shit starts up, it is very divisive for the fandom, and it like it brings engagement, but it makes it really hard to like get a story across because yep. of how like I can't stand the way that Katie treats Sheena. I can't, it makes my skin crawl. And then I can't stand the way that Lala treats fucking anybody on any given day. But when they're all kind of moving, like you said, as a cohesive unit, it's actually really interesting to watch. And so then Lala drops this bomb that she reached out to Raquel, and Ariana is kind of like, oh, but Ariana, I think, fourth wall breaking in this moment, I think Ariana knows
yeah.
that this was a production move. I think she clocks that in the moment personally.
Well, Lala could have told her maybe beforehand.
Yeah.
Because Ariana, to me, she looked a little hurt, but she didn't look like what I thought someone would look like if they just found out this information for the very, very first time. And maybe right. she did. But I'm just curious if Lala gave her a heads up.
She probably gave her a nugget of information. She probably did. She
what?
Probably said, when we go, I'm going to have to tell you something. And so I just want you to be prepared. And I still love you, you know, yes. whatever. And then that's probably why Ariana looks so like taken aback when Lala asked her if she likes her. Because this is what I think. And this is my conspiracy theory, clocking in with my tinfoil. Okay. I don't think that Ariana did like Lala very much for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I think that Ariana's I think that Ariana started to appreciate Lala for how fiercely defensive Lala was of Ariana when Scandoval broke. So yeah. I think that any favorable feelings towards Lala have been kind of cropping up it to her very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably when Lala said, do you like me? I think Ariana might have been like, she might be like, oh, shit, she knows that I said this, that, or the third about her. Like, yeah. I think that Ariana probably talked shit on Lala or said some shit about Lala. And I think that Ariana in this moment thinks Lala is about to bring it up. And that's why she's kind of like, that's how, this is my conspiracy theory. Now, not that I'm not saying that Ariana's like trying to ruin Lala's life or anything like horrible. I'm just saying, like, the way that she reacted to me was kind of like she thought she was going to say something else. And so then when Lala comes back with the Rachel thing, she's like, that's what she was talking about. Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. Production probably told her, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then also some time has passed from the reunion. And I think Ariana spoke very well when she was like, Rachel can do whatever. I hope the best for her. I think she said something like that,
yeah.
but just over there. And yeah. so I get that. I almost wonder if production maybe thought in this moment, like, oh, here we go. I wonder if Ariana's going to have a big reaction to this, or they all are. And so when Ariana responded that way, and again, they all kind of had this like good moment at the very end, and maybe this is my conspiracy theory, but I clocked Ariana, or Lala looked like she wanted to say more, and she kind of like looked to the side, like kind of rolled her eyes, like she wanted to say more. I also feel like she was like, I wonder if her head, she was kind of like, well, shit, that kind of, we didn't really get a huge moment from this. I still think there was a lot of like context there, but the girls, my theory is they went into the season being like, we're not going to have every conversation be a huge fight. They actually are like talking things out, like on a basic human level. But I think they very much have had that conversation going into the season, which is smart of them, especially since like a lot of the heat is on the guys right now. So I get them having this like united front, but then I also get, from a show perspective, Lala, again, to me, it looked like she wanted to say more and didn't quite get out what she wanted to say. I think she wanted a little more heat in the situation. And then it kind of like, again, Ariana was like, that's fine. And she said something like, I get worried because I feel like people take that as you putting a foot in the door and, you know, they expect more. But that is, she's like, there's no foot happening or something. She says it's something like that. And I don't know. I think Lala just wanted to do more with that scene, just in my opinion.
Well, don't worry, though, because after she does that, Sheena chimes in.
Oh, Sheena.
Sheena, my little poodle. Her eyes were bugged all the way out. Her, like, and I don't mean that in like a suspicious way. I just mean like, I feel like she was like, she's literally like shaking, like she's very displeased. And she was like... She was basically, but she, you know, for again, in my opinion, good reason. She was like, and again, I think that if you think about this in the context of this is not about like me talking to an ex-friend of mine. This is about bringing someone on into your workspace that you have designated dangerous that tried to get Sheena locked up, essentially, is what she's saying. And I think that Sheena, in this moment, is like, well, we could have had a conversation about that because her coming on the show is actually really detrimental to me and blah, blah, blah. And she's right. She really is. She's right. But I just thought it was like the reaction that was intended to come from Ariana ended up coming from Sheena. Because legally, I think, again, Sheena has more of a dog in the fight. Whereas with Ariana, it's like her emotional safety. And I think for Sheena, it's more of a physical, like tangible safety.
Well, I think it's very surface level again to just be like, oh, here's Sheena making it about herself. When I don't think Sheena is just going to Ariana all the time being like, woe is me, this scandal was hard for me.
No, at all.
But when Sheena is asked about it, or from her, you cannot deny she also was hurt by a lot of this. Two of her dearest friends, Rachel and Sandoval, the lies, and then whatever happened after Watch What Happens Live, there, she was affected by all of that. And so to say that she is making it just about herself, again, I think there's more to that. I think she was hurt by a lot of this. I think sometimes the way that Sheena words it or brings it up, I can understand people being like, oh, Sheena. But again, I think she's trying to express herself and it doesn't always come out the best way. But what's so fascinating to me, though, and this is a little side note, but relevant, is, you know, Sheena bringing up like Rachel and the TRO and things like that.
Yeah.
But the way that Sheena still is talking currently about Rachel, Sheena still seems like she wants Rachel back on the show. Whereas Rachel has so much resentment towards Sheena and so much.
She's pissed at Sheena.
She's pissed at Sheena. Yeah. And it's so confusing to me because whatever happened that night, Sheena, they have such different stories. So you would think Sheena would not want Rachel on the show because if they have a conversation, sure, I'm sure we wouldn't see the full conversation. It'd be heavily edited.
Right.
But if Rachel and Sheena had a full-on conversation, what would that even look like? Because Rachel is very much, has said from the start, you physically assaulted me. Sheena has said that's not the case. You really want that conversation to be out there? It's confusing to me how Sheena has still said recently, like, yeah, she should have came back and she still should come back.
I think that Sheena, in general, has more pull with production than Rachel.
Right.
I think that Sheena still believes that, you know, there could be a conversation that could be like, because now Sheena did admit to pushing her.
Yeah, she admitted, yes.
But so I think that Sheena is like, we could come to like an agreement that's somewhere between I straight up punched you in the face and, you know, I pushed you out of emotion. And I think, allegedly, in my opinion, I think that there was more involved. Again, you know how I am. I think that there was like maybe substances or something involved in that night that would look bad for both of them. So I think that there's some sort of collateral about, I think that they both have something on one another beyond just like the shove or the punch or whatever, that they could probably, you know, use against each other.
Yeah.
Cause like, I think that Raquel probably resents Sheena so much because I think she felt like Sheena wouldn't turn on her if Raquel gave Sheena. I think Raquel thought Sheena's loyalties had maybe shifted to Raquel over Ariana. Yeah. And I can see that being the case, much like how Raquel thought that Tom was done with Ariana. I think that she thought that everyone was over the way that Ariana was behaving. And I have said before, and I'll say again, I bet people said shit like that. I believe Sheena said it. I believe Tom said it. Schwartz. I'm sure that every which way Raquel turned, somebody was saying some shady shit about Ariana that would leave someone who takes things very literally and at face value to believe, oh, well, no one really wants this girl around anyway, and she needs to go get help, and she's blah, 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 and she'll be fine. So I think that in that moment when Raquel reveals to Sheena that this happened, I don't know. I still to this day don't know why Sheena would have punched her in the face over it.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like an incongruent response to like the nature of the information, except didn't Ariana call Sheena first? So like Sheena's on the phone with Ariana, like, what the fuck is happening? And then looks over at Raquel, who goes, Sheena, like, yes, me and Tom have been having an affair for blah blah blah. And Sheena's on the, I'm picturing it in my head, Sheena's on the phone with Ariana. She's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then like maybe then she pushes her, right?
See, I thought it was,
or she reverse.
Yeah, this from what I remember, and it's been a lot. From what I thought, Sheena couldn't find Rachel. Ariana had called Rachel first. Sheena walked up and was like, what the fuck is going on? And Sheena has said this from the very start. Every time she tells a story, Rachel had the most blank, no emotion reaction of, I've been sleeping with Sandoval for 7 months.
Yeah.
And maybe that triggered something in Sheena, because just hearing that, and then Ariana on the phone with Rachel, and then her just like blank emotion. I don't know what all happened that night. They both have very different stories, but it is interesting because I do think about if Sheena and Rachel did have a conversation on the show, they could have edited in such a way, because I could see them talking and Sheena being like, well, you know, did the TRO. And like Rachel said in her podcast, which I was a little confused about this, how she clearly didn't understand the way of the law, that she kind of just had it in her back pocket, she thought, if she needed it, but it was really already a thing. So I could see them, if they had that conversation, they would cut to Rachel saying something like, I just thought, just in case we needed, you know, they could have really edited that in a way to maybe favor more Sheena.
Yeah.
So I wonder, maybe that's why Sheena's still okay if they had the conversation. I don't know. That they're never going to agree on like what happened that night. And unless someone, which I think already if they, someone did had a video of that night, it would have already came out. Right. So I don't think we're ever going to get the full picture of that night, right. But it, I don't know. It is, like you said, does not seem Sheena's nature to just flat out punch someone in that moment, but I get emotions maybe being high, maybe more happened that night. I don't know, but it
well,
is just
I think
interesting.
That she was, again, and you know how I feel about Sheena, but I think she was right. Riled. I think she's riled up. I think she's riled up. So
yeah.
I think she was riled up either on, maybe she's on Adderall or something. I don't know, but she had been drinking and I think she was riled up. And I think that's part of the story that she doesn't want told. Because there are stories like that about Sheena getting riled up in that way and getting a little confrontational, kind of out of nowhere. So, you know, that's what I think, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't, you know, I just don't know why I don't know how punching someone in the, I'm just trying to think like, unless it was my boyfriend, right? Like if it was my boyfriend, I would, yeah, sure. That would be reasonable. But I just have never, that's why it was hard for me to believe. Cause I'm like, why though? Why would she punch you in the face? I also think that like maybe Raquel said something that Raquel doesn't want to say that she said, and that Sheena doesn't want to have said out loud. Maybe that inspired Sheena to punch her. Maybe Sheena said something to, or Raquel said something effective. Well, I didn't think you'd have a problem with it because you slept with blah, blah, blah. And maybe that's like bringing up Brandi Glanville, or maybe that's bringing up someone else. Maybe Sheena did something else that we don't know about that she wouldn't want out. Like, cause like, why else would she, you know?
Well, that's interesting. Well, and obviously we're just speculating this point, but that's an interesting point because Stassi and Kristen have both said, Kristen actually said something really horrific. They both won't say before Stassi slapped her. We did not see that. So, and again, none of this was on camera, but I know it does make me wonder, like, did Rachel, did she say something more to, you know, and obviously people say like violence is never the answer, but I also think people are human and sometimes you just have you know what I mean? A reaction to something that you had fully no control of in a moment. It wasn't like then Sheena continued to keep doing it. I think obviously there's more to the story. What fascinates me the most is Sheena seems willing still to have the conversation on camera with her. Whereas Rachel is like, nah, I resent you actually.
So we kind of, you know, we kind of end the episode on a goodbye or a goodbye to the ladies. And then we enter the house, Tom and Ariana's house, and in walks Tom Sandoval going like, hello, in his home, which is like,
it's so stupid.
No one's there. And like, if it's the cameras, you know, the cameras are there because you see them outside, like Thomas.
Right.
So, so he comes in. And so that sets us up, like you said, for then the rest of the season, which will be including him. And we go from there. Now, question, not to make this another 6.5 hours long, but did you watch the after show that premiered on Peacock?
I did. And I thought the after show had some even better moments than the show, because I think there was some interesting points. I thought Ariana's comment of, I think Billie Lee's literally living in my house, because I'm like, is she? The girl filmed a TikTok in Ariana and Tom's house. So I'm like, does
I wouldn't
she
be surprised.
Live? Right. And so she doesn't live there. She's there a lot. And so there was moments, and I thought what was interesting, and the whole Sheena, and I know it was a joke, like, well, I know he did it, but Sandoval blocking Summer Moon. I can understand, again, not a Sandoval fan, but him, when you're in a moment of everyone is saying like, I'm done with you. And then you have your best friend who passed away. Then you have, because I've had people in my life before where I've had to cut out the friendship and then I hear something happen to them or their family. And I kind of have this moment of like, oh shit, should I say something? Yeah. I usually don't, because I'm then don't like Sandoval's reaction being like, really? You're going to say this to me after you guys have been talking on your podcast, which they have been.
Yeah.
So I don't really fault Sandoval for in that moment blocking them all. I think he was able to explain that more on the after show. I also don't fault Sheena or any of them reaching out to him, because that was a horrible thing that happened. But I thought the way that Sandoval explained that, I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. But then the motherfucker has to say things like, you know, I think Ariana, she really feels safe with me in the house, so that's why she's okay, like, living with me. I'm like, you motherfucker, it has nothing to do with. He says things like, well, she must not think I'm a serial killer or I'm not psychopathic because I think she feels safe living with me. And I'm like, and you lost me again. I try to give you some benefits of the doubt, or I try to look at your perspective sometimes. And then you say shit like that. And I'm like, and even Schwartz during that part was like shaking his head.
It's just like, it's such an obtuse thing to say. Also, like, yes. Ariana wasn't really the one calling you a serial killer. Lala was. So, yes. First of all, chill. Also, the fans are calling you a serial killer. No, right. I don't think Ariana thinks that you are necessarily. You make psychopathic decisions.
You're
unhinged. I feel again, like, if you're in a place of these LED lights are freedom of speech, then like,
I don't
feel safe with you in the house. I don't.
No.
And I don't think you're going to protect me. What are you going to do? Whack a robber with your fucking penis flute? Like, I don't know what safety he thinks she experiences with him in the home. But actually, I feel like you are a major liability to my property.
He is trying to paint the image to the fandom of, I must not be that bad if Ariana is still there.
This is the thing, though. I don't.
Or maybe he really thinks that. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he thinks
literally that people think that he's going to kill someone. And I'm just saying, I don't really think you're going to kill someone, but you are a very unstable individual objectively. And so I'm okay with you being ridiculed as a clown because you have clownish actions, even if you didn't go to fucking clown school. Dumbass.
Yeah. Well, even Nick Vile brought a good point, and I'll give him credit. He goes, Sandoval, what's scary is I actually believe that you believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
So in those moments, now reflecting back, I'm like, wow, he probably actually thinks, because he's so Tom focused that, oh, wow, Ariana must really think that I am, you know, the savior, or I'm a safe guy to still live here. Otherwise, she wouldn't still be in the house. And it's such an obtuse way to think about it. And I really do think he believes the things that he is saying. And so that, it's a whole other level to it. But yeah, when he said that in the after show, I was just like, oh, okay. And then I think I thought Sheena brought up something that Lala had a good point, where Sheena was like, I think Schwartz was bringing stuff up on camera on season 10 to kind of jab at Sandoval, and that was his way of getting it out. And
but Lala isn't that weird?
That is, and Lala fought back on that and was like, and I don't remember exactly what Lala said, but whatever she said, I'm being like, oh, that's an interesting and good point, because she kind of was like, that's still like, what? Like, you need to basically grow a pair. And
yes,
you don't, that's not how you deal with that, is basically what Lala was saying.
Yeah. And when that was kind of being, I don't want to say floated as a theory, because it's not that it's a theory, it's just like when people were bringing up that he was saying things as a cover up, this is before Raquel confirmed that it was a cover up. So like at the time I was like, well, maybe this is just part of Tom's like nervous thing that he does. That's like, he's uncomfortable with the situation, but it's not like he's intentionally saying that stuff. But when you roll it all back, I'm like, honestly, how does Sandoval not cuss your ass the fuck out? I don't know. Like, if that was my best friend and we're supposed to be like in this together, like, I'm reaming you out for this. This is insane. Why would you do that? And then to be Ariana looking back at that, I can't imagine. And again, I have a friend who reminds me of Schwartz, who has done things that are not quite that egregious. But like, I look back on it and I'm like, you did say something funny in a moment when it was like alluding to my boyfriend cheating on me. And you did like kind of. Now, I never am going to like cut that person out of my life. That's not how I operate. And that's okay. Yeah. Like everyone is okay to do whatever. And yep. like I've moved on and forgiven him and whatever. So maybe Ariana will do the same. Maybe she won't. It's up to her. But like, it was kind of wild to watch all of those things. I'm like, Schwartz, what the fuck? Like, I can't imagine being Katie either. Just like, what's wrong with this? What? I was married to this guy. This is weird as hell. You're trying to like, what do you think is going to happen in that moment, Schwartz? That Sandra's going to say, you're going to be like, I think that Raquel goes after married men. And Raquel's going to be like, I actually really do. And actually, I'm in love with Sandoval. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But to be fair, on that camping trip, they were on Molly. So, and when you're on Molly, you are like compelled to talk a lot more than you normally would. So maybe like that's why he did it then, but it doesn't make an excuse for the rest of them. And I just want to say something really quick because I want to make it like clear. I know that maybe this isn't like the best way to look at things, but I do believe that there's like a tier of bad. So I still don't think it's like a helpful conclusion to say that Sandoval's bad is equitable to Randall's bad. Because me, the things that Randall did are abhorrent and literally put people's lives in danger. Yeah. Whereas Sandoval's actions put Raquel and Ariana's lives in danger because of their mental health, but didn't affect children. It didn't like, you know, it was just a shitty thing to do. Right.
Yeah.
I think that some people would argue that the way that I think about that isn't fair and that I can totally understand why. But like, so I'm not ever going to be like a Reddit, like, fuck Tom Schwartz, he's the most evil person. And you know what? Because it's like when you start there, then like you escalate it to a point where there is no, you can go anywhere with anything and you can, and there's no like morality line. And then how do you rationalize these people's decisions if you think that everyone is on the cast is evil and a serial killer, to use Tom Sandoval's words? Well, then how do you say that about Schwartz, but then like you're okay with James? It doesn't make sense. So
exactly.
I think that it's important to like contextualize. So I'm just saying, like, you're gonna hear me say shit like that about Schwartz, and then in a couple of episodes I'm gonna probably empathize with him, because like there's nuance to these things. And ultimately, there are some people I draw a line on. I draw a line at Stassi Schroeder. I draw a line at Randall Emmett. And I've drawn a line now at James Kennedy. And I'm not going to come back from it. But for everybody else, I think I have nuance in my heart.
Yeah. And for me personally, sometimes Sandoval, with some of his stuff, it almost hits the line for me.
Sure.
But that man just triggers the fuck out of me just with his behavior. But I'm also aware of that. But and like, really, if I truly thought every one of these people were so evil, I wouldn't want to watch a show. I personally wouldn't want to watch a show about just a bunch of serial killers just hanging out. But the way that sometimes people on Reddit or other people, the extremist views of things.
Yeah.
So it is, I can look at, like, again, I said I don't vibe with Schwartz, but he could say something next week where I feel, actually, I think, when we start to see him and Sandoval having conversations, I think I'm going to feel for Schwartz in moments, because I know Sandoval is going to double down and be like, you said this about me on your podcast. How dare you? It's like Schwartz can't ever have like his bad feelings towards Sandoval and actually like them come from a real place without Sandoval like chewing his head off. Yeah. And so I think I will feel for him in those moments. But yeah, even as you said, kind of as far as like with James Kennedy, I very much just see him as like, okay, he's on my screen right now. I think I chuckled at one thing he said. I mean, the guy can say some funny things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to him, that is where I'm just like, I have no interest in talking about you unless it's to bring light on things that I think is going to be, I hope, brought up in some way. And that is, I don't know, it's weird to say, because even Rachel said, like, I knew if I brought things up, this could like ruin his life. But boy, if you do this kind of shit and then it's covered up, that's on you and that's on whoever covered it up.
Yeah.
So it's not about ruining someone's life or taking someone down. If shit was, you know, is being brought up or is known now and someone is like, we need to look into this, that's on you.
Yeah.
That is on you. Yep. And so, and it's so funny, our very first episode that we did together, we alluded to so much of this darkness that a lot of people didn't want to talk about.
Yep.
And man, are people talking about it now.
Finally.
And you said something like, you know, not only did like Scandoval in one sense, like the cast, but production wise, Bravo wise, this was a huge thing for yeah. everyone. And a lot yeah. of eyes are on them right now. Yep. And a lot of eyes are looking at Mr. James Kennedy.
Yes. And I say, keep those eyes open, friends. Keep, as you watch yep. the season, look at his behavior. And just, you know, I guess pray for Allie. I don't know. There's so much. I thought about having an episode called We Need to Talk About James, and I might in the future, because there's a lot, even more than we unpacked in this like 7-day episode. like,
oh, yeah.
I keep saying it like it's a bad thing, and I'm just like so happy that we did this. So it's not a bad thing at all.
Oh, no, it's just funny how when you look at it, you think like, okay, we're just talking about the show and the podcast, but the way that we talk about things, there's really so much to it that I don't know. It's yeah. fun to talk about.
100%. Lindsay, thank you for coming on this journey with me. Can you please tell the people where to find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Vanderpod Recaps. I've been doing like different formats and stuff with my recaps.
Oh, they're so cute, by the way. I love them.
Thank you. Shout out to my friend Brady, who's been helping me out with that. And then on Reddit, if you ever see the name Additional War 8759 is the numbers. I had to look it up.
8759.
Yeah, that is me. Sadly, I can't change my Reddit name, but I think it's fitting with what I do. So it's all good.
Yes, I love it. Thank you for coming on. You guys know where to find me at WTF Knows Emily Rose on Instagram. That's at WTF Knows Emily Rose on Instagram. WTFK Emily Rose on Twitter. You guys, listen to this episode. I think it's going to be a 2-parter. So once you listen to part one, settle into part two. There's so much to talk about. I can't wait to talk more about Vanderpump Rules with Lindsay. And we'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. Wind up your window, wind up your window. Yeah. You know I love it when you wind yeah. up your window. Tell me what you